You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today, I'm excited for us to continue our series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Are We There Yet? For the past few weeks, we've been journeying through the Exodus story. We've been looking at the story of when God delivered the Israelites from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, and he began to move them toward the promised land. And we've been learning some lessons, some life lessons about trusting God on the journey from promise to fulfillment. Now, today, I want to talk to you about a really important subject. I want to talk to you about rest. Rest, yeah, that's right. That thing that we all need more of, that we don't get enough of, that thing that we all know makes us better, but we don't prioritize it. That's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about rest. I'm learning some lessons about rest, especially in this COVID season, because like many of you, I've been forced to slow down some. I just can't go as many places as I used to go, can't travel as much as I used to. I know things are picking back up, but this has been a season of slowing down some, and I feel like God is teaching me some things about rest. So let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a season of life where you were running so hard that you didn't even realize how exhausted you were? Come on. Where are all the moms at who are just tired? Come on, where are all the overworked young professionals? Where are all the workaholic dads? Let's just confess. Have you ever been in a season where you were just running so hard that you didn't even realize how exhausted you were? That happened to me a few months ago. I actually went out to Kansas for a pastor's retreat. So I'm involved in this ministry called Refuge, which helps give pastors a weekend away and helps us learn how to rest. And so I was supposed to be fly fishing with a group of pastors out in Montana, but Montana wasn't open due to COVID. So we ended up at this ranch in the middle of nowhere in Kansas. And I had been running hard. I mean, this was right during the craziness of COVID and transitioning our church to being online and taking care of people in our church and doing outreach and then steering the church through the racial crisis and George Floyd and everything that happened during that time. And, you know, people were asking me all during that season, Pastor, how are you doing? And I was saying, I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. My faith is strong. And what happened is I was running so hard, I didn't even realize how tired I was until I got out there and I unplugged, I took a break, and just began to rest, I realized I was emotionally exhausted. I sat around the table with a group of other pastors, and we all confessed how exhausted we were. So, I know many of you can relate to that. Today, I want us to talk about rest. I want to talk to you about the principle of Sabbath. Now, last week, we looked at Exodus chapter 16, and we talked about how God provided manna. Literally, he rained down bread from heaven to feed the children of Israel while they were wandering and traveling through the wilderness. And we also looked at the very first mention of the Sabbath principle. Because when Moses gave instructions to the Israelites about how to steward this gift of manna, he told them, you're going to go out and collect it daily, but every 6 days, on the sixth day, God's going to give you twice as much, and the seventh day is going to be a day of Sabbath rest. Look at what it says in Exodus chapter 16, verse 26. 6 days you are to gather it, the manna, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. And so here we see for the very first time the mention of the Sabbath principle. This is a principle that we see all throughout Scripture, all throughout Exodus in the Old Testament. In fact, the Sabbath is the fourth commandment in the Ten Commandments. Let's read it in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 10 and verse 11. So later on, this is when God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Here's what it says. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Now skip to verse 11. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So here it is, the fourth commandment. God says, I'm going to give you a day of rest. It's a holy day. It's a day set aside to me. In fact, even God rested from the work of creation to set an example for us. And so what is the Sabbath? You can put this in your notes. Here's the definition. The biblical definition of Sabbath is it's a day in which we stop work, we enjoy rest, and we experience the goodness of God. It's a day to cease from your labors, to stop work. One day a week, to stop work, to enjoy rest, and to embrace and experience the goodness of God. In fact, many of our Jewish neighbors and friends, they observe this commandment strictly. In fact, this is why often if you're driving on a Saturday, you'll see Jewish neighbors walking to the local temple or synagogue because it's the Sabbath, it's the Shabbat. When I was in Israel a few years ago, I mean, most of the country shut down on the weekend for Shabbat. In fact, my dad got sick on a weekend, and we were trying to find a doctor for him, and we were lucky to even find an urgent care clinic because, like, everything was shut down. And in fact, they told us when you get out of the car, make a beeline straight for the urgent care clinic because somebody might come up and actually yell at you for violating the Sabbath, for even being out. This is serious. This is serious. So I know, you know, many of us will say, well, what's the big deal, right? I have a two-day weekend, and some of you work right through the weekend, and some of you do all your chores, and you run, and you never stop. But this is a day, one day that's intentional, that's set aside when we take a break, when we rest, and we learn to worship and really enjoy God. So here's the question. Why would God be so focused on rest that he would actually make this a commandment, that this would actually end up in the Ten Commandments? I mean, this was a big deal. You could be killed for violating the Sabbath in the Old Testament. Come on, how many of you are glad that we live under the New Testament of grace? My hand's up. Why would God make this such a big deal? Well, the Exodus story gives us some insight. Let's look at the Sabbath commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 5. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5, we see another version of the Ten Commandments, and we find something interesting. Look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12, and then verse 15. It says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. Verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. Let me say that again. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. And so God says to the people, I want you to remember. I want you to remember where you came from. I want you to remember that you were slaves in Egypt and I delivered you. Come on. God took his people out of Egypt, but he had to get Egypt out of his people. God wanted to deliver his people from the slave mindset, from the slave mentality. You see, in Egypt, that was their whole identity. Their whole value was in what they could produce. They worked 7 days a week for Pharaoh, producing bricks and building cities, and their only value was in their work and what they could produce. And God said, I want to remind you that I've delivered you, and I'm making you into a people, and you have value and dignity and worth and purpose because you're my people. Because you're my people. And so this is a really, really powerful principle here. You see, if God hadn't given the Israelites the Sabbath commandment, then they would have never stopped working. They would have just continued to operate just like they did in Egypt with the same old slave-like ghetto mentality of just working and never feeling like they would have enough. And yet, they struggled to receive this gift of rest. In Exodus chapter 16, Moses tells the people that God wants them to take a day off, that he's going to provide manna for them, but on the seventh day, there's not going to be any manna. He's going to give them like twice the amount they need on the sixth day. And look how the people respond. Look at this, Exodus chapter 16, verses 27 through 30. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather the manna, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. This is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where they are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. God's like, are you people ever going to get it? I'm trying to give you this gift of rest. I've promised to provide for you. And some of you still aren't listening. You're still not getting it. Now, we can pick on the Israelites. And we can point out their sinfulness and their lack of trust and their lack of faith. But here's the reality. We can be a lot like the Israelites. We struggle to rest. Hello, come on, we're New Yorkers. New York City has the reputation, right? The city that never sleeps. Like, this is like kind of who we are, right? We know the fast-paced environment that we live in, working through the weekends, never taking a break, always trying to get ahead. You know, the boss is always on speed dial, can text you, call you at any point in time, you know, falling asleep at night in the bed with your laptop. Like, we're a lot like the Israelites. And so here's the question. If God wants to give us this gift of rest, why do we struggle to receive it? Like if we know that rest is good for us, if you know like what happens when you don't get rest, like how cranky you can be and how stressed you can be and how you have brain fog, like all of those things that happen, why is it that we still struggle to receive this gift of rest? Let me give you a few ideas. Here's the first one. Number one, fear. The first one is fear. I think without even recognizing it, we're afraid of what we might find out is going on deep inside of ourselves if we ever slowed down long enough. Like if we ever just slowed down long enough, we would have to actually deal with what's going on inside of us. And I think for many of us, there's a fear to deal with what's going on there. And so what happens is we're always driven and we don't prioritize rest. And we excuse it by saying like, well, I'm just a driven person. But have you ever stopped to ask yourself this question? What are you driven by? Like driven by what? I think for many of us, it's fear. I think for many of us, it's fear of feeling this nagging sense of shame. Like if I slow down, you know, I'm going to be overwhelmed with these nagging questions of, you know, am I good enough? Like, I don't feel like I'm good enough. I don't feel like I'm successful enough. I don't feel like I've accomplished enough. I don't feel like I have enough money in the bank. And so I have to work even harder. I have to work harder to prove my wealth and to prove my success and to prove that I'm worthy. And what happens is when we slow down, we have this overwhelming sense of shame and fear. Here's another one that I think is part of the reason why we don't embrace rest. It's just good old workaholism. Yeah, good old workaholicism. It's the addiction to work. It's the actual physical and emotional addiction to work. In fact, research shows that a consistent pattern of overworking can actually impact the neurochemistry of your brain. What happens is your body over time becomes dependent on all the hormones and chemicals that your brain is releasing as you're on overdrive all the time, and you end up becoming like an adrenaline junkie. And so for some of you, this is an actual like physiological problem. Like when you try to take a break from work, you actually struggle physically and emotionally and physically to do so. You're addicted to it. Here's the third thing. The third reason I think many of us struggle to actually embrace this gift of rest is we have a distorted view of our identity. We have a distorted view of our core identity. You know, it's really common in our culture when we meet someone that one of the first questions we ask them is, what do you do, right? Like, what is your occupation? What is it that you do in life? And it's funny because it's such a natural question for us, but that question hasn't always been a natural question at all times in all places. You know, we're modern industrialized people. In fact, I was talking to someone just the other day and they were telling me that in a certain European culture, it's a lot less common to ask that question so early on in a conversation as it is for us as Americans. It's just kind of part of our culture. And for many of us, the culture that we've been, you know, saturated in and our family of origin, it communicated to us, you are what you accomplish. Come on, some of you that's resonating with you right now. You grew up in a household, maybe your parents, maybe in a certain culture that put pressure on you, and you felt like the total sum value of my worth is what I can accomplish. You know, how well I can do in school, what kind of college I can get into, how well I can do in my career. And for some of you, that pressure is very real, and it has contributed to you having a distorted sense of your identity. Now, let me say this. Part of who we are is what we do, right? Part of who we are is what we do. Like, what you do is an important part of who you are. Hopefully, it's something you're passionate about. It's something that, like, you know, resonates with your talents and your gifts. But it's not all of who you are. First of all, we're human beings, not human doings. And what happens is when we only focus on what we do and what we can achieve and what we can produce, we end up getting that out of order and we operate like human doings and not human beings. But God wants you to know that you have worth and dignity and purpose because you are in Christ, especially if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Like, there's a great value over your life. Like, there's no matter what you believe, like, we believe we're made in the image of God as human beings. And so God would say that you have like a core worth. And so for many of us, that's our problem. And this is the very problem the Israelites were experiencing. They had a distorted view of their identity. They still had a slave mentality. And so God had to give them this gift of Sabbath. See, Sabbath isn't just about taking a break from activity. It's about rehabbing your identity. Come on, let me say that again. Sabbath isn't just about taking a break from activity. It's about rehabbing your identity. The Israelites needed to rehab their identity. They needed to recognize that God was making them into a people. Like, just because God had taken them out of Egypt didn't mean they were a finished product. God was still working on them. He was shaping them and molding them into his people. And the same is true for you and me. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, just because you placed your faith in him, it doesn't mean you're a finished product just yet. God is working in you. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and he's wanting to rehab your identity and put a new mindset in you, a new heart in you, so that you know that your value and your purpose and your dignity doesn't just come from what you can accomplish, but who you are in him, who you are in him. And so this is so important, because here's the main idea I want you to know today. I want you to put this in your notes. Our struggle to rest reveals our struggle to trust. Our struggle to rest reveals our struggle to trust. When we struggle to rest, when we struggle to embrace this principle of Sabbath, to slow down and rest, it reveals that we're really struggling to trust that we are who God says we are, to trust that our value really does come from him and not from other people and what they think of us and what we can produce. When we struggle to rest, it proves that we struggle to trust that God is our provider. It proves that we struggle to believe that God is the one who holds the world together. And if you take a day off, the world isn't going to fall apart because God created it. Hello, why do you think God took a break after he created the world? He's God. He didn't need a break. He took a break to model for us our need for rest. It was his way of saying, hey, I created the world, and you can take a day off, and the world is not going to fall apart because I'm the one who holds it all together. So when we struggle to rest, it really says a lot about our trust and our dependence and our faith in God. And so I want to give you three reasons to embrace Sabbath. Put these in your notes today. Three reasons to embrace Sabbath. Number one, Sabbath is a catalyst for your spiritual growth. Come on, this is more than just a break. This is more than just a weekly day of rest. This is actually a catalyst for your spiritual growth. Sabbath rest is a spiritual discipline, just like prayer, just like reading your Bible, studying scripture, meditating, fasting, worshiping together, you know, on a Sunday gathering like this online or in person, hopefully soon. Like, none of us would think that we could neglect those things and grow spiritually. How many of you think you're going to grow spiritually? If you never read your Bible, if you never pray, if you never go to church, you probably don't expect to grow spiritually. Well, this is one of those gifts that God has given his people to be a catalyst for our spiritual growth. Sabbath literally provides a God-ordained way for us to slow down long enough so that we can connect. It helps us connect and reconnect with God, with ourselves. Come on, sometimes you gotta slow down long enough to reconnect with what's going on inside of you and to reconnect with our loved ones. This is something that God has given to us to aid our spiritual growth. Here's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. He said, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." Oh, this is so important, because Jesus is saying that the Sabbath isn't just really one more rule for you to keep. You know, they got this kind of wrong in the Old Testament. In fact, we kind of see the Pharisees got this wrong during Jesus' time, because they didn't even want Jesus to lift a finger to heal anybody on the Sabbath. And Jesus is saying, you're kind of missing the point here. It's not really about being religious. It's not really like one more rule you have to keep. Don't get it twisted. This is a gift that God gave you. It's for you. It's a gift of rest. And so it's something that we can embrace. It's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. And it becomes a catalyst for your spiritual growth when you pause and you reconnect with God in a special way in this weekly rhythm of rest, and you reconnect with yourself and what's going on inside of you, and you process that and you reconnect with your loved ones. It's a beautiful gift of spiritual growth. All right, here's the second thing, three reasons to embrace this Sabbath principle. The second one is that the Sabbath sets us free. The Sabbath sets us free. See, when the Israelites were in Egypt, Pharaoh was their ruler. He was their ruler. He was their king. He was their taskmaster, and he ruled over them, and their only value was in the work they could do for Pharaoh. The only reason he let them live is because 7 days a week they worked for him, and all he cared about was how many bricks they could produce every day. And so that's what they did. They worked all day, and their only value was in what they could produce. But then we know God sets his people free. God sets his people free, and he says, I want to change your whole mindset. I want to change the way you see yourself. I want to change your identity. Your value isn't just based in you meeting the quota of bricks that you can produce every day. Your value is based in the fact that you are my people, called by my name. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've made a covenant with you to bring you into a promised land, to bless you and make you into a people. And for you and me, that promise is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. So if you're a follower of Christ, you have inherited the blessings of that promise. You have accessed the covenant that God made with his chosen people. And the sad truth is that many Christians have been set free from their sins by Jesus, but there's still a Pharaoh that lives in their hearts, in their minds. There's the Pharaoh of comparison. It's this Pharaoh voice that says, look at what you have compared to what they have, and you don't measure up. What you need is to work harder so you can have bigger and better and be more like that person. Come on, it's the voice of Pharaoh in your mind. It's the voice of fear. It's the fear of not having enough. It's a poverty mindset, a lack mindset that I'm never gonna have enough. And if I stop working so hard, I'm gonna starve to death. I don't know how I'm gonna make it. Come on, some of you are successful and you're still operating with a poverty, a fear of lack mindset. For some of you, it's the Pharaoh of guilt. It's the voice of guilt and shame that says if you take a day off, your value dwindles, that your value, it corresponds to how much money you make, how much you produce, what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in, what your title is at work. It's the voice of Pharaoh, and God is saying, remember, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the bondage of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Come on, church. He's saying, I am the God who delivered you from the bondage of guilt and sin and shame and brought you into a new covenant by my son, Jesus Christ. And I've given you grace and mercy, and whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. Come on, Sabbath sets us free. This is an expression of what Jesus Christ has done for us. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it says there is a Sabbath rest for those of us who are in Christ. We've entered into Sabbath rest. It brings you freedom. It brings you freedom. It sets us free from this idea that we are what we produce. The Old Testament scholar and theologian, Walter Brueggemann, said this: Sabbath becomes a decisive, concrete, visible way of opting for and aligning with the God of rest. Come on, it's a tangible thing we can do. It's an intentional thing that we can do to align ourselves with the God of rest. Why align yourself with the pharaohs of our culture, the pharaoh that lives in our mind and our hearts, the pharaoh overbearing bosses out there? Let's align our hearts with the God who wants to set us free and embrace this gift of rest. Okay, here's the third idea, third reason why we need to embrace this Sabbath principle. Sabbath sets the stage for revelation. Sabbath sets the stage for revelation. What does that mean? For a greater revelation of who God is, an opportunity for us to encounter God afresh in a special way in this weekly day of rest. You know, there are some things that God can only download into your soul, that God can only download into your spirit when you slow down in rest. Church, I would say it this way. I think there are some things that God wants to speak to you. I think there are some things that God wants to show you. I think there are some things that God wants to reveal to you about who he is and his purpose for your life. And he's trying to get it to you, but you and me, we're just too busy to receive it. We're just too busy. We haven't slowed down enough. We haven't rested. We haven't made room for God. He's nowhere on our social calendar. He's not on your iPhone, Google calendar. And he's trying to get through to you, but you haven't made space for him. And that's what Sabbath does. Sabbath creates this sacred space, this sacred place where we rest and we slow down and we connect with God. Let me just tell you, some of the greatest moments in my life have been moments of rest. Some of the times when God revealed himself to me the most, or where God just dropped something in my heart, it came on vacation. When I was, you know, out in God's nature, or just on vacation with my family, just seeing the goodness of God, or on my Sabbath day off. A lot of times I'll be doing something like working in the garden, which isn't really work. It's something I do that I enjoy, and I'll have my headphones on, and I'm listening to some sermons, or I'm listening to a book, you know, an audio book, or I'm listening to worship, and God will drop some things in my spirit on my Sabbath day because I made room for him. Come on, there's a revelation that God wants to give you of him, of himself. And here's what you have to realize. If God gave us this gift of Sabbath and we don't receive it, that means there's something that God wants to give you that he can only give you through Sabbath. And if you don't embrace this principle, you're missing out on something God wants to give you. And so I want to encourage you, make room to rest, make room to carve out some time to rest so that you can hear from God. And so where do we start? Where do we start? I want to give you some practical ideas because I know you're pushing back right now. I know you're, I'm way too busy to take a day off, and how can I afford to take a day off, and what would that even look like? And Pastor Jeremy, you don't even know what my schedule's like. I get it. I get it. Let me give you a few practical ideas so you can begin to take some steps towards setting this into motion. Some practical applications for embracing Sabbath. Put this in your notes today. All right, number one, pick a day. Pick a day. It can be any day, actually. It can be any day. For some of you, it might be Sunday. For many of you, that matches, you know, that's a natural day of rest for you. It's the weekend. It's a day where you maybe get up and you worship, so your mind's already there. You reconnect with God. So maybe it's Sunday, but pick any day. For me, it used to be Monday. We work hard on Sundays, especially when we would gather together in person. And so Mondays, I would totally unplug. I'd work the other 6 days, but Monday, I used to unplug. My phone would be turned off. Our staff would know, like, I'm really not going to be doing emails, and, you know, I'm not replying to texts, and I'm trying to go find something I can do to replenish my soul. And I look forward to getting back into that rhythm when we gather together again. But find a day. Find a day. Lately, I've been taking some Sundays after we're together online. I try to take that day with my family and to rest. Number two, make a list. Make a list of what you enjoy. Anything but work, okay? I know you workaholics. You enjoy work. Anything but work. So it can be hiking, it can be biking, it can be fishing, it can be taking a walk on the beach, it can be reading some books, it can be staying at home, laying on your couch, binge watching Netflix and just doing nothing. It can be a day for you to reconnect with your spouse. Come on, some of you, your love life would be a lot better if you learn how to embrace the Sabbath, if you know what I mean. Come on, somebody, some good old recreation in marriage. Hello, your marriage would be better. Find something God-honoring. Find something pleasurable and good and embrace it, okay? Make a list of things that you enjoy. Be intentional so you don't slide back into work. Number three, prepare and protect. Prepare and protect. You got to prepare for the Sabbath. You got to prepare to take a day off or it won't happen. And you got to protect it. That means you got to be ready to say no to some other things because work is going to try to pop up. And so you got to have this space carved out. You got to make a plan, right? If you don't make a plan, then you're going to fail when it comes to taking this whole day off. So make a plan, be intentional, and carve out this time and begin to see how God blesses it. Begin to see how you feel closer to him. And here's the thing you're going to find. I really believe you're going to find that you're even more productive because you're going to give yourself a day to reset. And research shows this, that actually, you know, overworking all the time, it actually leaves you flat. Taking a day off is going to help recharge your batteries, and you're going to come back to work on Monday or whatever and be even better and perform even better. Watch, put God to the test and see if he doesn't do it in your life. So remember, Sabbath isn't just about taking a break from activity. This isn't just some rule about taking a break from activity. This is about rehabbing your identity. Come on, this is about rehabbing your identity to know that your value isn't just based on how much money you make, what you produce, but your value is based on the fact that you belong to God, that we are his people, and he's shaping us and molding us, and we want his heart, and we want what he wants for us because our struggle to rest reveals our struggle to trust. When we struggle to rest, church, it reveals a lack of trust that God is God, that he is our provider, that our value truly comes from him. Let me just remind you that the Exodus story is our story. It's not just some story we're reading about thousands of years ago, but the Exodus story is our story. Jesus has invited us into Sabbath rest in him, to rest from our striving, to rest from our striving to please God, to rest from our striving to somehow do enough good works to earn our salvation, to rest from our striving to impress other people with what we have and all of these other things. No, Jesus is saying, I want to give you rest in me, to know that I loved you so much that I gave my life for you. The Exodus story is our story. Let me just tell you something about trust. You know, I think about my own kids, because we're God's kids. I think about my own boys. My boys at night, they go to bed and they don't wonder, where's my next meal coming from? They don't wonder, is mom and dad gonna take care of me? Are they gonna provide for me? Am I gonna have clothes? Am I gonna be fed? No. They rest at night when their head hits the pillow because they know they're taken care of. Church, here's what I want you to know. This is what God wants for us as his children, as his people, that we can rest in him, knowing that we're his sons and we're his daughters and he's got us. And so with the grace of God, we're gonna take one day a week to stop work, enjoy rest, and experience the goodness of God. Come on, we're gonna stop work, stop the addiction to work. We're going to enjoy rest. And as we do so, we're gonna experience the goodness of God. Can I pray for you? I know we need help with this. I know some of you wanna embrace this. Let me pray for you that God will help us. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of Sabbath, for the gift of rest that you wanna give us. And God, right now, many of us, we want that, but we struggle to receive it. God, many of us, we're workaholics. God, we live in a culture that rewards constant work. And so God, we're asking for your help to embrace this gift of rest, that you would show us in the coming days and weeks how we can begin to put this into action, God, and to carve out this time to just be your sons and your daughters, to reconnect with you, to reconnect with our loved ones, for our batteries to be recharged, for us to have a fresh revelation of your love and your grace, and for us to embrace our identity in you, that God, we can have a day off, not because we deserve it, but because of who we are in you. It's not about how much we can produce or some value. It does not correspond to how much money we make, what we can produce, but God, who we are in you. Take this truth, seal it in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.